Right, we're live. Man, so tell us, how has your week been?
Awesome, man. You know, like, how can you not be so happy when you're in Thailand for a whole week here, doing jiu-jitsu, eating good food, getting sun? It's good.
You've been getting your own training in too, yeah?
Huh?
You've been getting some of your own training in as well?
Yeah, I've been training and prepping for my open coming match. I cannot give you the details about it, but yeah.
It's an exciting one too, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. You came across from Singapore, yeah? Were you training over there as well?
I was mostly teaching in Singapore, but I was also training myself as well, but definitely not in the pace that I was training in the USA. But any time that I had a chance, someone tough would fly, I would always ask them to train with. Yep. And then I was training there with the best local people for the time, my time being there too. I was lifting, doing stuff like that, but just my volume of training was not equal to when I was in the USA. But man, we're in the middle of the filming, bro.
That's okay.
Fuck, we're filming. I swear I want to choke him. Brother, we're filming.
Is that goes into it?
Fuck.
I swear you attract this shit, bro. You attract shit like this.
Bro, stop, shut up. Don't say that.
Shit.
So did you find it difficult in Singapore to find training partners that would push your level? Like, obviously in the States, there's maybe people...
You guys are going to cut that shit, right? Yeah. Okay. Just... All right, sorry.
Maybe.
He's coming back, dude. No, okay.
You'll take you down, son. This is all this sort of stuff goes in and makes it funner. Well, the question is when you were in Singapore, did you find it difficult to train with people who would push your limits, like as you would maybe in the States, or no, it was pretty good?
I mean, I had to be more creative with my training in order to keep challenging myself. So I'd have to put people going on fresh, different rounds on me, and I would stay and, you know, like train with different people fresh. But I was doing my best as far as training with like the best local people, and I was trying to do my lifting, cardio and that stuff parallel to that. So that was the best I could do. Other than that, every time I was traveling for seminars and stuff, I would always roll with the toughest guys in the room and try to keep myself sharp like that. In a way, it was great for my body because I carried a lot of like long-term injuries from competing and whatnot. So that time really helped me to recover myself. And you know, like I said, because I was still training and stuff, I feel like it was great because I was not training like in a way that I was damaging my body, but it's still fit. So now that I'm going back into camp, it's not like I'm starting from the scratch. Or like my body is nice and fit. I just need to like take it to the next level.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Do you find now that like the higher level you get, do you find that you have to prioritize recovery and rest days more and diet more and stuff the higher level you get?
I don't think you have to prioritize more, like you mean like more as opposed to your training, or just more than like before, like
more than before, like I guess when you get to... So like, there's obviously world class guys, but then there's like elite guys like yourself that are like top three, top five in the world. Does it change from being a world class athlete to an elite, like top three, top five athlete?
Yeah, I think you just have to stay more on top of your recovery.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean where like people I think sometimes get twisted is like, they take the recovery over the training and they don't do the training. I think it's like, you have to do your recovery and everything that will allow your body to recover so you can keep on doing as many trainings as you can. Of course, you also, like I like to say, have to be honest with yourself. You know, if you're just starting a camp or if you're seriously injured or something, you have to know how to listen to your body and adapt that in a way like, okay, I cannot do that. At least I'm going to drill, do whatever you can always. Or maybe like you're starting off, you're going to push one training session hard and then you stay on top of your recovery as your body starts adapt, you start putting more training sessions, and then that's like wearing on the body. So if you just ignore your hydration, you know, like if you don't have your chiropractor or your physical therapy, so you do your yoga, you stretch on the side and you get your sleep, you know, it's, you're gonna have probably like a higher chance to get hurt, you know, so it's part of the game, I think, like.
Equally as important as the training itself, do you think?
I think it's just, that's, I consider that training as well, just the whole, it's all one thing, yeah.
With your with the training, and obviously you're talking about the different components of that that make that up, do you reckon there's anything that you do that your opponents might overlook, or anything that you do that, you know, other people don't think about? Like an example might be like watching tape. Like I'm sure people do that, but is there any sort of thing specific that you do that you don't think other people, that you think they overlook, or gives you an, that gives you an edge?
I like to, definitely like to study my opponents, but I like to focus a lot on myself too. I think sometimes overly, like you said about tape, for example, sometimes people can focus so much on their opponents and they forget their qualities and stuff, and they end up going to the match just trying to counter, just worried about what they're gonna do. So I just try to focus on be the best version of Yuri I can be, and you know, always try to add things that I didn't do. For example, like for my first ADCC, I was doing like jiu-jitsu wrestling, but I was doing conditioning on my own, you know, like, and then for the next ADCC, I already had a conditioning coach that, you know, so I level up one thing. Then the next one, my training partners got better. So I'm always trying to look for whatever it is that, you know, like I've, in the like right when I started doing my first couple ADCCs, maybe my leg lock game was not so good, and because I'm a top player, I'm usually not putting myself in positions like that I'll shoot for leg lock, because I don't want to compromise top position. But like there were times that I was going against leg lock players, I had to put a camp into that to learn that stuff. So I'm always trying to get that one extra thing, you know. So for this last ADCC, I had a very, very good conditioning coach, you know. I had Mason Fowler, which is also one of the best grapplers in the world. Kyle, which was already like a huge piece of my success competing ever since my, you know, ever since I started winning the black belt, he's still there. So I'm just trying to add more on top of it. Now I'm going to wrestle when I'm in California. I'm going to try to wrestle again at DC and AKA, so I can have the best rest and the best. And I think too, for the next ADCC, for example, one thing about recovery as well that you talk to is like, I have a good friend, he's a conditioning trainer and a nutritionist, so he's very good with recovery stuff. I forgot the name of that stuff that you, the iron piece that you scrape like for the muscle and stuff. He's really good at that stuff. And he'll be doing that like on a daily basis. So right after training practice, I'll have him doing body work, work on mobility and stuff. So I'm always on top of my recovery, you know. And then on top of that, I'll go for my chiropractor once a week and stuff. But just having that will allow me to be more productive during my training sessions, and I'll be able to perform better each time, recover more, and even like do another extra 45 minute drilling or something like that, you know, which adds up, you know, at the end of the camp. So anything that I can do. I also want to try to go to do my camp in the altitude for the next fight. That's something that is on the talks now. I'm trying to organize that. You know, so we'll see.
1% is, hey, like all those little 1%ers add up over time. And especially with like ADCC, because it's every 2 years. Yeah. If you put 24 months of work in, bro, like it's a big difference in your abilities and stuff.
Yeah, I think, so that's I think like the difference about me. I'm always trying to look within and say like, oh, you know, maybe you're not doing that part of grappling so good. So you need to work technically on these. Your conditioning, what is it like lacking that you can do? I'm always not just staying on the same kind of training. I'm always trying to get out of the comfort zone because I know the game evolves.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of high level guys, they just tend to just stay on doing what they're doing. Yeah, I want to be have my game and do the things that I want to do and keep on doing that, but I need to learn other things so I can neutralize them. So if I end up in there, I can still attack from there, you know? So that's it. If I just stay stuck and not trying to learn anything, you stay behind.
That was one question I wondered about, like high-level athletes and people like yourself. Like, how often do you, I suppose, utilize in training your existing game and stuff, you know, versus learning new skills and when you implement them? Do you, like, is it just, like, do you work with your coaching team and they analyze and say, hey, maybe we'll try this and that? Or do you come across these things in competition and you're like, then go back and like, I'll work on that?
A lot of it comes from the training sessions itself and like noticing what you're doing wrong, maybe like some adjustment that you need to do on something there. Maybe you're hitting that move and then it starts not working because someone did something else. So you need to do a little adjustment here and there. And then yeah, a lot of the technical work is based on the opponent. What are you gonna do mostly for that fight? What game you're gonna try to do? Like the fights against this guy is gonna probably take place around those positions. Against this guy, I have to be more ready here. You know, it's gonna be hard to put him in that position, but I should also not get hit here, you know, so the fight's probably gonna take place. Yeah, so, and then the technical work happens after you figure out the strategy. You know, usually that's how it's done in my camps.
Do you think, like, what, do you like the fact that ADCC is every 2 years instead of every 1?
Yeah, I like that. I think that's great. I like that.
Sorry. That's it, it's my bad.
I like that, and I think that's great because if you look at the Olympics, it's what, every 4 years or? World Cup and stuff, and people really value that because it's not something that happens all the time. And you see, like, for example, the Worlds in the Gi, it's a great tournament, they get the greatest in the Gi, right? But like those guys have to every year, they get 1 year to teach seminars, 1 year to be the champion, the next year they already have to put the same amount of work they did. They have, you know, plus, you know, you also want to do other fights and stuff, so you you have to in jiu-jitsu to survive. So you're competing in other things, you never really get a break for your body, and then you're going again against 20 other guys that are hungry to take that away from you. So you don't really like get the glory of a champion for long. So I think like the ADCC for that, it brings more prestige. People wanna see that because of that extra year. I think that's good. And it's not like 4 years, which you like, sometimes half of someone's
career,
top or peak in their career at least. So yeah, I think like 2 years is perfect, actually.
Speaking about basking in the glory of being a champion, like obviously you won ADCC Absolute just on the last event that went through. How is, I suppose, the aftermath of that stacked up to your expectations? Like, did you have any expectations what it would be like versus what it is like? Or yeah, how's that been for you?
Like what, sorry, repeat your question.
Like the opportunities maybe that have come from that, like you won, you're the absolute champion, and then
definitely, I definitely like, it puts you in a better position to leverage fights, you know, the sport's growing, so people are getting paid better. So of course, if I'm winning the biggest title in grappling, I have to also get paid better.
Yeah.
As the sports grows and stuff, and also got a lot more like calls for seminars and stuff like that to show my jiu-jitsu, my like people wanted to learn, and that's good, you know, it's rewarding. And I think grappling is definitely growing compared to before. It's the best it's ever been, and I think ADCC next year will be also a very big event. It will also be record breaking, so it'll be good to be in that position again and make that happen again.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do you prefer, I guess you, in recent years, you're well known as like a grappler, but you previously did a lot of IBJJF and Gi. Do you have a preference? Or do you chase the bigger matches or the money?
Like personally, like as far as having fun doing it, I truly enjoy both.
Yep.
I appreciate both. They're different, but they're beautiful in the same way, I think, and enjoyable to me the same. It's just that, lately, if you look at my record, even as a black belt, a lot of people know me as a no-gi guy, but like I got 2 golds in the Pan Ams, I got 2 silver in the Euros.
Like 2013, 2014?
Like, yeah, 20, Pan Ams is 2012 and 2014 Pan Ams, and then Euros was like 2014, I got 2 silver medals in the same event. And then Worlds in the Gi was like, I think 2014 and 2015, I got third. Yep. So still like I got more medals than a lot of guys that just do Gi, but because I think my no Gi titles kind of like overshadow my, my Gi titles. The people just know me as a no Gi guy, a no Gi grappler. But I think like, you know, even like if you look at my record as a color belt, I won Worlds on every belt. So it's safe to say I'm like a Gi guy, like that's my foundation. And I just like kind of like adapted to grappling. I've always trained other modalities. I've always done judo, freestyle, Greco. I've always been the guy that like, okay, there's like a sambo guy in the gym. I'm teaching in Russia, there's a sambo guy. I'll train with him, like try to learn from his modality. And I think that's one of also my, I think special attributes for ADCC. It's the ability to mix different standing modalities, not just stay on freestyle. Like I can switch for judo stance, freestyle, like I can look for.
Because you started with judo, didn't you? When you were little?
I mean, I started judo in school, but it was very, very basic. And then I went back to judo when I was about 15.
Yeah.
And I did it all the way until I was like 21 when I was competing in the Gi. I would train judo as I would like start my camp for Worlds and stuff like that. I would train in an actual judo gym and stuff. I just never stayed consistently for a long period of time to get awarded, but I would just do that as part of my camp for Worlds or something like that, you know. But it definitely added into my standing, you know, like because then you have the foot sweeps, the hip tosses, is a different element, different stance, a little bit more upright. And then Greco, you're obviously a lot stronger with your upper body, which I think also helps a lot for people that like to pass the guard. You get body locks and side controls on the ground if you're resting upper body to make you stronger there. And then, of course, freestyle is probably one of the best ones. That something I've been doing since I was about 21, so I've been putting 12 years of training freestyle here and there. Also, like I did for judo before, like as a camp for a fight, I started training more of that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I was just gonna say you've been competing a long time, right? Like in the highlights of all the matches, IBJJF, ADCC, and so on. Was there a point where you stopped dealing with pre-competition nerves, or do you still get them?
No, I think the pre-competition nerves are necessary. I think what you feel nervous about change over time. Like when, you know, I remember when I was competing as a kid, the nervousness was more for the unknown because I haven't put myself at that point so much in that position of competing and dealing with losing, winning, and like actually competing against someone who's trying something 100%. It was new, and that the nervousness came from that, right? The unknown. And then, like, I don't know if you guys know that, but my first 11 tournaments I lost in the first match. Yeah, and I was just like, that very thing made me stick to it. And eventually just like nervousness of like, man, I don't want to lose again. Like, during those 11 matches, it was a torture because I hate to lose. I absolutely hate to lose.
Yeah.
But that's actually what helped me to win, you know, because then I figured out the game, I understand more about it. So. I'm a stubborn guy, you know. So like,
fuck
you, when someone tells me I can do something, bro, you better believe I will fucking.
That's why we can't hang out with each other too long, bro.
Exactly.
I'm doing stupid.
Yeah, we've been through some wars on the ice bath and stuff.
Yeah, for sure. Are there any tactics that you use to deal with those nerves, say on competition day, like any breath work or anything, or just you know?
Man, you know, sometimes I do the guided breath work from Wim Hof online, you know, and I've done like private classes with like yoga teachers that do more of the breathing stuff. I have a friend that is really good at that stuff and taught me some of it too. So every time that I have a chance to practice like on my breath, I like to do it, but it's something I need to definitely get a lot better with.
Yeah.
Because I know it's very important. And probably something I'm gonna add up to for this, you know, this time around.
Yeah, nice.
Where was I gonna go? Oh, I wanted to know, like, to understand why you, because you went. My understanding of your timeline is you went in, you were doing a lot of Gi in like the 2010s, and then you took some 1FC contracts as well. Is that correct? And then you went into grappling. So you went straight from like kind of training or competing in a lot of Gi into like MMA.
No, I went to Gi, from Gi to grappling, and then I was going to do MMA in 2016.
Yes.
I trained for a whole year. End up tearing my ligament that year, fighting the whole year without a ligament. Went to a doctor, he's like, your ligament is off. 2 weeks later, so after I went to this doctor, I won Worlds. Like, this was like, I went to the doctor to get my knee drained so I could fight Worlds. This is like after a year without my ligament in 2016. I go back to 2 weeks afterwards, I tore my knee, and then I out for a long time. So when I come back, I was training MMA for the whole year. When I come back, it's like ADCC year. I have a sponsor, I have pressure. So I go back into grappling. So I was all the way into 2019, hurt my other knee at ADCC. Mm-hmm. And then it was the only ADCC that I didn't win, it was 2019. That from the ones that competed, and I got a really bad injury. And then that was a big layover. Like I had to stay out for a while, and then getting back into it, I was starting to focus just in MMA to do my debut. So on top of those months out because of my knee injury and rehab and all of that, going back was right into MMA. So I spent another almost year doing MMA. So it's almost 2 years without competing. So coming back into jiu-jitsu, lost my first four matches on the way back. That's when I started working with Dr. Fraser, my sports psychologist, you know, during that time, because I was like, man, it's just not happening. But it was just, I was so rusty, and I was coming from a very hard surgery. A lot of people like end their career with that. So it took some time to get rid of that rust and to get my rhythm back. And then I started winning everything, like after those five losses with my MMA fight at the time, I got back and I started winning. I won eight matches in a row, then I became ADCC champion.
And so, what was the push to go towards MMA? Was it more just you wanted to test yourself? Was it numerical, like you wanted to make more money, or like what was that?
Just a personal goal, like something I've always started. Actually starting jiu-jitsu because of the dream to do MMA at some point in my life, you know? And like back when I started training jiu-jitsu, I was 7 years old, I don't know, something like that. I mean, my dad was training, I was four, I was training judo already, but when I got into a gym, it was like 7 to 8, something like that. And I was watching Choke, you know, and that you know, from Hickson Grace. And it was during that time that Royce Grace was fighting. And I was a kid, and it was like jiu-jitsu versus kung fu versus wrestling, like one martial arts. So growing up in that mentality, also following the growth of MMA, and now it's a completely different sport. Yeah. Back then, you could just go as a jiu-jitsu guy.
Yeah,
and it would be a fair fight because you would go against a straight kickboxer, or you know, like the guy wouldn't know ground, or he wouldn't know takedown defense. And now it's a sport on its own, you know. And of course, if you're a high level grappler, high level striker, you have an edge on that modality. But it's also that modality is also different on that sport, and then you have to learn all the elements, you know. And it's different; it's more challenging now, and I like that. And it's something that is true. Personally, I still feel like, I don't feel like on a professional level I need to prove anything to anybody because of my resume in grappling, all I've done in grappling. But personally, I have that goal and that challenge within that to go to MMA and be a champion in the organization. You know, like I don't really like fancy, oh, it's going to be this organization, it's going to be that. Just more about my journey in MMA, my journey as a martial artist, like kind of like representing jiu-jitsu and grappling in the realest form of fighting, more like that mentality.
And that's more like, that's worth so much more than like any amount of, in my opinion, any amount of money.
Or exactly.
Belt or whatever, man, you know? Like, because that's the shit that actually matters to the people like yourself and the people that you care about. Like that means the most rather than having a fucking big bank account full of fucking paychecks and shit.
100%.
To me, anyway. Yeah, no, that's cool, man. So do you think you're going to like pursue MMA, say after ADCC next year or something like that?
Yeah.
You're going
to? Yeah, I think so. Yeah, so that's the goal. I was actually planning to go to do my MMA, come back earlier next year, around February and stuff. But then I decided to put more time. I just talked to Kyle, my coach, recently, to put more time, start earlier. Preparing for my match against Gordon, get a few matches in grappling on the way, and then right after ADCC, just laser focus on MMA at least for a year or so. Then I can go back to do my super fight on the previous one because I want to win this next super fight and get them.
For sure. It's interesting as well. So we were talking about this the other night, right? But and I did hear you talk about this, so but maybe we'll just revisit it. So you weren't going to compete in the absolute series in ADCC, just gone. You kind of were in your weight division. You didn't make it through. You weren't going to go in the absolute. You went out that night for a little bit, just on the strip. Mm-hmm. And then, you kind of so happened to get involved and then you came through. So you want to tell us about that again?
Yeah, it was pretty cool because, like I said, I had no more expectations to do the absolute. My goal was to go there and win my weight, my third ADCC title in the weight class, right? I had won 88 kg, 99 kg. I wanted to do it again at 99 kg. And I was very well prepared. I felt like I was meant to go further on my division, but I feel like they took that away from me on a very tough match with Mirgali, but I felt like I had the best out of him. I was the one who came close to take him down.
That was a good match, bro. That was a battle. I remember watching. That was crazy.
I took him down and he fell and got up, and like he never really even came close to scoring anything. I was more dominant. He was the one going out of bounds, and a lot of people there were saying that it was like kind of like rigged, you know, like it was not really fair, but that was a little bit of an upset for me because I put a whole lot of hard work and I knew that according to the way the criteria they judged there, I should have became the winner of that fight. And I was like, man, you know, like I put such a crazy work, and it's in a tournament like that, you go against a guy that is high level. The fight's gonna a lot of times be decided on the details, and if the guys are being biased, it's like it's beyond me, you know. So like I was discouraged with the absolute for that reason, and also I never really like thought of the absolute. To be honest, I was just so pumped to be in the ADCC already to do my way. The absolute just like the next level, you know. And then I decided to do the absolute division like 1 hour before, 30 minutes before they ended the brackets. My coach was calling me, he's like, you should do it, you know, like my parents were also like, just give it a try, just go there. And I think the very fact that I slept late the night before, like I went out and stuff, which is something that I never do when I'm competing, actually made me pretty relaxed, because I didn't sleep with a lot of tension and stuff. I was decided I was not gonna do it. That's the only way, only reason why I went out that night. I was like pissed off and I was like, I'm not gonna do it. The next day, just decided short notice. I was like, you know what? Fuck it. Sorry, my language. I was like, let's just give it our best. So yeah, I went there and man, I thought that was it. That was like my last ADCC competing there and stuff, and end up being like, I was like, no, I've got a lot more wood to burn.
Awesome.
I'm in this game for a lot longer, for sure.
Yeah. That's sick. That leads me into like, excuse me. One of my main goals for this podcast is to really, I want to tap into your brain a bit, like your mindset and stuff, because I draw a lot of similarities with like how you think and how you deal with things and how you just go and put in the work and your stubbornness.
Mm-hmm.
I draw a lot of similarities with that with myself and what I do as well in business and all that sort of stuff. So like, you know, when you get to a point where you like you really don't want to do something and you're like borderline not going to do it, what makes you take that extra step to commit and just doing the fucking thing anyway?
I don't want to like hear the inner voice calling myself a bitch for doing it. That's seriously, it's like big part of it. Like I'm like, fuck, I have to do it. And then a lot of times when it's like a goal, like winning something and stuff, it's just like, I think it's just my competitiveness. You know, I find a reason to like, either be like, you know, I'm not gonna lose this guy, I refuse to lose this guy, I fucking hate this guy. kind of like, if I lose this guy, to be 10 times, I'll convince myself of something that would be like, that would spike up my competitiveness, whatever the reason may be. And it's like, now I'm using that example, but it's really like very random reason, but I'm pretty good like finding that,
that little bit of
that switch, you know, that reason that would turn the switch. And I think that's also one of my characteristics as well.
I think that's definitely one of your like many qualities. Like I think where you go to that point, you're like, oh, I don't want to do it. I feel tired or whatever, and I'm lazy or whatever. If that feels good then, and you do that, and you sleep and you don't do what you're supposed to be doing, but then you go and have that match and you lose, and you go, oh, fuck, I should have put that extra work.
Exactly.
And that feels way worse
exactly.
than actually just taking the extra step and doing 100%. The training.
Yeah.
I'm the same with, like, business too. Obviously, I'm not an elite grappler, but I still train pretty hard, but I work super fucking hard on my business and my businesses.
I see it. I saw it here.
Flat out, yeah. And people don't understand how much it affects, like, your family, your relationships, your friends. Mm-hmm. Do you find the same, that, like, the only friends that you have now are the ones that, like, truly support you and want you to win, and then the others have sort of just dropped off into the distance and, like, they don't understand what's required?
Like, you mean, like, some people that training, they'll see me as obsessed.
Why don't you come out and drink with us, bro? Why don't you come watch a movie or play video games?
Man, to be honest with you, 100%, there was maybe a time in my life that I worried about that, but now I just don't give a crap.
I'm the same.
Yeah.
Fucking same.
It's like, I don't even go through, like, the thoughts of, like, analyzing where someone disagrees with something like that, because it's just, I know exactly what I need to do. If it's like, I understand if it's like I don't have anything going on, like I'm not fighting anytime soon, for sure. Like I'm there and I'm present, and I'm a human too. I'll hang out with my friends and have fun here and there, you know, like, but yeah, whenever it's like comes on the way of like something that I have in mind or a goal, then it's like, nope. I don't even like allow that doubt, like, oh, you know, I should, like, he's a cool, no, no, like, he's my friend, so automatically I also don't have any problems because the people that I hang out are pretty, like, they're on the same
wavelength.
Yeah,
I found the same, man. Like, I've lost so many friends through probably the last 5 years, like, so many friends and people that just can't understand and accept. They think, like, what I'm doing is, like if I hated it so much, I wouldn't do it.
But then at the same time, I feel like you didn't really lose friends because you were always that person and you just didn't know them enough. And it just, like, it just show you that, okay, this is not the people that I really hang out, like, with, you know? Just
exactly. Like, and it's growth, bro, too, like.
Yeah.
Back earlier, like, I used to like partying and stuff like that, but then I realized there's no future in that shit.
Exactly.
And there's no personal growth. And then I guess those people are still there doing that 5-10 years later, and now I'm at this point. And I do. The friends I have now are like fucking, like, proper friends, and I think that's the same.
It's also good to have balance, right? If you redline in one direction for so long, eventually you're gonna like redlining, right? You're gonna fucking just give out. So it's kind of like, not so much you're working hard and focus on your business and then you go out and just lose the plot, but more like take it easy for a couple of days and then you regain and then you go again, right? There's kind of that balance. How do you find with competing, right? Like, how do you go with your balance? Like, let's say a pre-competition like ADCC, for example. Mm-hmm. What's a training block look like for you? Is that like a 8 weeks? Like, what sort of block leading up to that do you go, all right, this is fight camp now from here to there?
12 weeks.
12 weeks,
yeah.
But
I was very already, like, active with my training. Mm. I am pretty consistent for probably 6 months before, but just like when you hit those last 12 weeks, that's when shit gets real.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're training a little more every day than when you're already training hard. You know, like, that's when I know I'm, like, ready for this. It's just like, I'm training harder every day. Like, for example, I'll go for comp class, but then before comp class, the difference is other times I'm just going for comp class. Maybe I'm coming a little early to warm up. But for ADCC, I'll show up an hour and a half before, I warm up half hour, and then I'll do wrestling for 1 hour. So when everybody comes there fresh, I'm already drenched sweat.
Yeah.
And that starts to get in my mind. I'm like, no, I deserve to win. I'm working harder than anybody here. So, and I feel that, right? Yeah. Because I know when I'm in great shape, where I want great tournaments, and I know when I'm in ADCC shape, then I'm training every training session a little bit more, eventually a lot more than I did when I was in great shape for other tournaments, like, but not in that same level, you know? So just like the accumulation of that extra work over time. It just clicks, and then you know, like, and then I've gone to the point now, like, this is going to be my fifth ADCC. Mm. So I feel like I got a good, like, synergy with my body to know when I'm doing the right thing to win. You know, it's like, and it always gets harder. Every time that I won, it was, like I said, I added new things, but it was also harder. It was more challenging because it only gets better. The brackets get better, more good names. People are more well-rounded each time. They're doing more things each time. So, usually like 12 weeks before, I just started going like a lot to another level. Like, to the point where I'm cramping on every fucking part of my body, bro. Yeah. Like, it gets that bad. Because it's usually around summertime in California during that time. So, I stay so long in the mats that, like, in the end, there's like a puddle, like, it's like a lake of sweat. Constantly dehydrated, constantly drinking a lot of water, a lot of electrolytes and stuff, and cramping, bro. Like, it's just not like, and that's when it gets hard for you to figure out what's like beyond what I say, be honest with yourself, because you go to a conditioning trainer and you have competed your whole life in grappling. And I know a lot of grapplers, they deal with that problem, you know, and for a long time that was frustrating, you know, with like that frustrated the hell out of me, you know, like you go with a conditioning trainer. You know, I've had many, many conditioning trainers. That's not for my the last one that prepared me for ADCC. That guy is like a genius. Like, Ethan, he's like, he really helped me. I want to work with him for the next. But like, I've had many other conditioning trainers that they're like, you train hard, and they're like, oh, you know, you shouldn't push yourself to the level. And a lot of it is because these guys never won anything.
Yeah. Okay.
And they're basing what the guy is able to do based on themselves. Yeah. And the truth is, for you to be a champion, you have to do more than what is in the books.
Yeah.
Because I know exactly that, like, what many conditioning trainers told me, like, oh, you know, you should do less, man. You train, you go into overtraining. But then I know what I did for ADCC. It's like almost the opposite of what they said, because the intensity is so much higher than what they were telling. And then you're like, you see the results and you're like, no, motherfucker, that's exactly what I needed to do.
Yeah, similar to what you were saying when you did your knee or your last knee reconstruction you had, and the doctor was saying maybe you should finish with the grappling, and then you kind of said no and then kept going, and now look at how that went on.
Yep, that's it, right there.
And that, like, I guess all of that type of training, like, flows into your mindset too, so you're mentally prepared, so like you're physically fit and able and skilled and your technique's sharp and everything like that. But knowing that you've done enough puts you in the right mindset when you come to comp and you're looking at the guy and you're like, I've done more work than you, motherfucker. I'm going to beat your ass.
Yeah. 100%. Yes, I think that's good. And it's like, for example, we're talking mostly about ADCC. Like, World's Only is also like very up there with the level. But like, I remember my first ADCC. I've never done that rule set. I've never done that. So like, I didn't have any data from that. So I had to just like, works super hard. That was like, I was super prepared there, right? But it's good because like now I'm at the point that I have a data of what worked. So I know exactly what worked too. So it's not just that I'm working harder, but I know exactly what hard work is, what led me to win there. And I know I have to, if I want to be honest with myself, it would have to be harder now than it was the last time. Smarter, harder, everything. Like, I have to put more into it, you know? So that's just the mentality that I adopted for that, and then like it's been working with me, like
that's cool. I struggle with myself to try and find what that limit is, probably not so much physically because I'm not doing that extreme amount of training, but mentally for me, because I do train every day and then I put in,
like, bro, you train a lot. This guy's being humble right now, guys. This guy doesn't sleep.
Dave Goggins.
So I train like...
You sleep like doing grip stuff?
Yeah,
like,
bro. The sun's been chasing me for years, bro.
Yeah,
yeah. It's been chasing me up for years. I train pretty hard and pretty consistently as well, but I also like spend a lot of time working with my business and all that sort of stuff. And I've struggled to find, like, I've created a monster in my own head where I'm like, you don't need rest, you're being lazy. And then I end up getting to a point where I burn out and I get like sick or I get injured or something happens. Have you found like a way to identify that?
Or is I think it just like you go like you were saying, and you keep on hitting the point where you get sick, so you're more familiarized where like when you're in the like line, right? And then, you know, like there are many things that help you reverse that. Like you can sleep more, you can take a day. Like I'm like a feeling right now, I'm gonna still train how I train, but I'm just gonna double down my sleep or like sleep a couple hours more today. Hydrate better today. I'm gonna get a massage. The, all those little like hack things like you can do. Like I can do a sauna. It's gonna make me feel great. Like all these things that you can do to help you to train. Like start feeling your immune system down. I'll take my vitamin C. I'll take my zinc. I'll like rest more. You know, like so. I think like getting in touch with your like with yourself, like knowing your limits, like just comes with like. Passing your limits so many times that you know the layer and you're like okay I'm there and still like nowadays sometimes I go more than I should but it's just like each time you're reducing that you know you like know you're doing like just like what you need to do
no that makes sense do you find like obviously sleep's super important and all that sort of stuff but how much do you prioritize your nutrition? Do you have like a dietitian and shit like that that gives you meal plans?
Man, I love food and I'm, you know, say
when we first met on the Gold Coast, he bought like five ice creams and just eating. And I'm like, man, he looked jacked as well. I'm like, man, I still hope I can eat like that and look this good. I'm onto it.
I don't always eat five ice creams, but sometimes I do.
I think everybody does.
I think like with me is like I try to clean out stuff once I am getting ready for anything, or if I'm about to get ready and get into camp, then I start cleaning out on the bad stuff. This was this year, but like, surprisingly, this year like was the year that I had the best. Like I eat most at home. In California, I eat like a lot. Out. I'm gonna try to change that now when I come back. But in Singapore, most of my meals I was eating at home. Me and my brother were cooking and stuff, so I was having steak every day, like potato and stuff like that. So, but then when I was going to Australia or traveling, then I would like
do. It's hard, bro. Like,
yeah, yeah. I would have my cheat meals. I would take them very serious as well.
It's fucking hard when you travel, man, to get like the right kind of nutrition. Like I travel a lot with what I do. And it's super hard to try and eat clean because like everything's got a fucking like chips with it or it's got like some big salty.
Luckily here we got the caveman shake, which
bro,
is like
that good, shake is like so bad. A meal in one, bro. It's got like protein, carbs, everything. Yeah. It's fucking
it tastes like ice cream. So it's a win.
It's delicious.
Yeah.
No, that's cool, man. What's your take on 20-minute ice baths?
Probably not the best idea if you don't want to die of hypothermia, but if you're hanging out with us, that might happen, you know? Like, you might be going in an ice bath for 10 minutes, and next thing you know, it's like 35 minutes, and you're like there freezing. Nobody getting out of the ice bath.
I knew today was going to be a bad day for me because I knew, like, after yesterday, you were going to come, like, with the Mamba mentality, man. You're going to, like, be like, I'm going to beat this motherfucker.
Yeah. I was like, trying to, like, raise his ego up. I was like, oh, this guy's like the Wim Hof, like make him feel so. But I was like doing my breath. I was like doing all the prep stuff. I was like, I'm not gonna lose for him, you know. But I was trying to make him feel like he was gonna have it easy, you know.
He was pretty stoked yesterday when he came into the room. He's like, I did 15 minutes, and then I'm like, what do you do? And I think he said, I can't remember, like 7 or 8, maybe. I'm not too sure.
11 or 12, he did.
Yeah, yesterday did 11.
So he won.
It was my first, but we weren't really competing yesterday.
No, it's always a competition, though. I thought.
True, it's true. This guy. So yesterday he did win, but today I won because I had my hands under the water and his hands were out, so
gotcha.
We did the same time, but I had more part of my body in the ice bath, so I think like that counts as a win by advantage.
So you won all, right? Then decider is the next one then.
Yeah. No, but really was more of a competition myself because mental. I was like, man, you know, he stayed 15 minutes. I could have do better myself. And I beached out, so today I was like, no, I'm gonna do. And like ice bath, that's a good thing about ice bath too. It's like sharpens your willpower,
bro,
big time, right?
Yeah, especially that long. Like
sauna too. Sauna also has that.
A hot sauna, man. You have yourself thinking like fucking crazy shit,
frying there, bro.
Your body's like going, get out, get out, get out, and your mind's like, no.
He's a regular though. He does them like weekly at home. So yeah. the ice bath. So he came prepared.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, just to like disclaim, it's not a good idea to do fucking more than 15 minutes in an ice bath. It's not safe. Don't do that. I'm keen. So man, when you finish up here in Thailand, what's next for you? Say for the next 12 months, obviously including ADCC.
Man, I think ADCC is in 10 months, so that's like basically my
entire focus.
My main goal in this next year. You know, I'm not even thinking after that, to be honest with you. I'm just not thinking past that at all.
Because that's the main.
Yeah,
the main focus.
It's my goal is to show up as like the best Yuri that has ever competed before. Like that, I know that's the most important match of my life.
Mm.
And you know, starting now and I'm coming to California, everything is gonna be revolving that and being the best I can be there. So there's like absolutely nothing that I can look back and be like, oh, I could have done that better. Everywhere, like physical, mental, spiritual, technical, whatever you name it, like I wanna make sure it's on point and so that I get there and I just get the win.
Then you've just gotta have the match, you put in all the work. Yeah, that's cool. In regards to the matches, just made me think of something. Like, do you have like a favorite match? It might not have even been a win or a big trophy or whatever, but did you have a favorite match that you like enjoyed your opponent or you learned shit or you done some real cool stuff? Like,
man, you know, like it's hard to name one match because there were so many
matches in the fucking big ones, bro.
I like my match against Bernardo Faria in the World's No Gi, and then my final ADCC 2015 against Keenan. The one against Bernardo was because obviously he was in the black belt before me, a few years before. It's probably like already, I was a purple belt, he was already a black belt. So he beat me the first time in the same year in the Gi Worlds. I was beating him and he passed me on points. It was like 8-5 in the score, it ended like that. And it was like on the semifinals of Worlds. You know, I was doing really good on that fight and on the Worlds for the camp and everything. So 2 months after that, I fought him again in Worlds No Gi. And it was in the semifinals of the Absolute. And then I think I scored like 12-2 and then I finished with the armbar.
Mm.
So that was a good, taste.
For sure. On that, I'm just wondering, is there any level of importance or do you place any importance on like say a points victory versus submission? Like, do you look at them differently or a victory is a victory or is there any sort of emphasis you put on those?
To me, it's a victory is a victory. Because if you want to find out about submission, then you have to fight no time limit.
Yeah.
You know, because then you can be the guy open to go for submission. And that happened so many times in the color belts that I learned. There was a match that I had a hook on the guy's back. He was winning by 2 advantage, but I had a hook on his back. It was Juvenile who got. I had the choke on him, and I could just put the other hook on top, and I would win the match.
Mm.
2 times this happened to me, the same thing on the same year. And because I was trying to finish them just to be like, I can finish you, I lost the match.
Yeah.
It was such a stupid decision, you know, so I'm competing to win.
Yep.
And if there's 10 minutes, of course, if I can finish, I will finish. But I want to make sure first I win.
Yeah.
I don't want to be that guy, oh, yeah, I lost, but I was going for the sub. That's, to me, a very loser mindset. So my game is position before submission. I want to improve my positions, wear the guy out, and then eventually look for subs.
Nice.
So that's how I go, you know. And if the sub is there right away, awesome. If it's not, I'm making sure...
Mm-hmm.
I'll win first and then I'll get this up. That's how I go. Yeah.
Nice. Very nice.
Yeah, that's I think that's like gospel, isn't it? Like that's sort of what I think like that's the best way to go into a comp with that sort of mindset.
I think so.
What have you learned? So because you're like at a really good place in your career, you seem to be anyway, like in regards to like how you're competing and your techniques and your mindset and everything else that you're doing, what have you learned now compared to say 22, 25 year old Yuri, and what would you change back then if you could?
I think like everything was meant to happen the way it happens for me to be where I am. So like all the good and bad choices that I've done when I was 25 now, I think it helped me to have the experience I have now. Same in jiu-jitsu, you know, like I've made good and bad choice. Maybe I should have trained more, you know, that here than there, you know, like, and I mess up. And I think those things made me learn, you know, and it made me be where I am. But if I look back, like one thing that it's listen to myself more. And if I am going to listen to someone, just choose very wisely who that person is, because the person must, their intentions must be aligned with yours, right? And listening obviously to myself more, because a lot of times like I got hurt because I listened to someone else and I should have heard my gut. I think that's like would like avoid some injuries at least. And if you avoid injuries, then you have more times on the mats, right? So
it's true. And I guess like that, you can't get to where you are now without having those failings, because then you would never have learned the shit you've learned and at this point. So you sort of have to have that process. It makes sense.
For sure.
It makes sense. No, that's cool. We're pretty much at an hour, so we can probably wrap this thing up. Did you have anything else?
Yeah, no, I was going to ask the same question about like any advice, but let's just say a young aspiring jiu-jitsu athlete, aside from like trusting your gut, do you have any, I suppose, knowing what you know, if they're looking to get to, you know, the pinnacle of where you are, what advice would you give them? Or is there anything, any tips you might be able to give?
I would say focus on your foundation, build a good foundation, learn the mechanics, learn how to move your body according to the mechanics of grappling. That's your hip escape, your front row, your break fall, your technical send up, your bridge, your all that you can do to get the, your body moving the right way. And then obviously training with your coach and learning and focusing your energy on learning and drilling techniques and getting the foundation rather than just going crazy, getting hard rounds, because there's a time and place for that, and it will come the time for that. But I feel like focusing so much on sparring and going hard before you learn the mechanics is just a recipe for disaster. Awesome. For you and for the training partner, especially like spazzy white belts training, like, you know, like they can.
Yeah.
So I think like just learning the mechanics and learning the foundation, focusing on getting out of subs, positioning, like basic submissions, like being comfortable, you know, like on different positions. And when you roll with the mentality of learning, because you're just beginning. There's no way you're gonna beat a lot of people. If you can go with the higher belts and know how to move, and you can, you know, just not try to like, oh, I'm gonna beat this guy, but try to like learn, watch how this guy is doing stuff. And until you have enough on your arsenal to have fun, and then doing that, you're gonna get to the point of enjoying your sparring a lot faster, because then you're gonna, it's like you have a video game and you don't figure out the controls, just pressing the buttons hella hard, hoping that you're gonna, and then when you actually learn, maybe you're not as sharp as the guy that plays for 10 years and he knows further combos and stuff, but you're very comfortable like with the commands, and you can like start, then it becomes enjoyable, you know what you're doing. So I think for you to get to that point, you need to focus on foundation, building like the mechanic on your body, like for through solo warm-ups, stretching, all of that stuff, on how to move right, you know, according to grappling, you know. So I think like that, focusing on that more than going crazy.
Awesome. Makes total sense, man. Awesome. All right, let's wrap it up at that, man. I really, really appreciate your time. It's been absolutely awesome hanging out during the week. You fucking nearly killed me.
Yes. Big thanks for BJJ Escapes for putting that camp together. Luke, thank you.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure, man, and awesome trip. And thanks for the podcast, my invite for the podcast too, bro. We're looking forward for more ice bath battles with you tomorrow.
Yeah. Thank you both very much.
Thank you. Thank you guys.